You ever feel like that? My week. We've got so many balls up in the air at work, I dropped a couple, but it's okay. I could blame that on Kim. And then here comes Shorty. And with Shorty, you think of Bob and Donald and Shiplers. And it seems like such a waste to not just stop for a minute and focus on what made them who they were. What can we use? Now, this is the fourth message I've done this week. I was only supposed to have one. I did one and God said, deeper. So yesterday at 5 in the morning, He gave me deeper. This is really good stuff, God. Really good stuff. Last night, He said the word different. Not deeper. It was a D word, okay? So I did one. This morning He said, now that was a good start. Here's what I want you to do. We want to focus on what, on building a life in which when we take that last breath, we will look forward to those angels. We will not stand. There's a verse, I couldn't find it this morning, that says that there's a potential to be saved, forgiven of your sins, and yet embarrassed at the return of Jesus Christ. I don't want that. Don't want that. When we are forgiven of our sins, when we've recognized that there is a sin debt, and there's nothing we can do about it, and then somebody tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, how He took upon Himself the penalty of all of our sins, and now God is justified to forgive us of our sins. When we approach Him through the work of Jesus Christ, there is a forgiveness of that sin debt. There is a filling of the Spirit of God. There is an adoption into His family. Good news. But that's the foundation. We get to build our lives upon that. There's a couple ways you can do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 12 through 15. Anyone who builds on that foundation uses a variety of materials: gold, silver, jewels, hay, wood, hay, and straw. So all of these are representatives of the things we can build on this life's foundation that He has given us. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Not that you're losing your salvation, but what are we building in this life that will withstand the judgment that God is coming? We are all going to give an account for our lives. Once again, not to know whether it's heaven or hell, but the reward or the presence of the joy that's coming after. It says the fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, in other words, we have not built a foundation that glorifies God Almighty, we have not matured in who we are in Christ Jesus, we are self-focused rather than God-focused, then what we build will be burned up. Verse 15, but if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer a loss. The builder will be saved, but like somebody barely escaping through the walls of flame. He'll have the smell of smoke up on him when he comes to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I do not want that. I do not want that. There is a better way for us to be able to live in this life. A better way. And when I was thinking of all those people, these first came to me. It would be the one that I would apply to Shorty, and to Jim and Nancy, and to Bob, and to Donald. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Turn there with me. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, but you'll get the gist. Paul, in writing the last book that he wrote, he was about ready to be martyred. We know Paul as a very ambitious young man who hated the way of Christ. Hated it. So much so that he was arresting Christians and bringing them back. He wanted to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says that he was the worst of all sinners. Not only did he reject Christ, he wanted to destroy the work of Christ. And yet he says, and yet God saved me. This is his last works that he's going to write. He's writing to Timothy. He says, As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of His return. And the prize is just not for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to His appearing. Let's pray. Father, verses we can gather around as we're kind of tender this morning. Knowing that we are not perfect. Knowing that we have made decisions and lived lives that we have been building hay, wood, and stubble. But we long to build using gold and diamonds and jewels that will withstand Your judgment. We long for that life. That we will have something to present You on that day that will glorify You. And these verses tell us how we can do that. And do that consistently for the rest of our lives, however long that is. So Lord, I pray that You give peace to the one who's struggling right now. That You give encouragement to the one who's striving to begin to build with the proper materials that's struggling right now. And Lord, You'll bring comfort to those who are remembering. And You will place within us the sureties that one day we will rise. When we hear the trump of God, Your name, we will rise and be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not forget that now. Lead us as we go on this, and we praise You in Your name. Amen. 2 Timothy, we've got to break this thing up, okay? So often we read the verses, okay, got it. Did that this week. We're going to be in Mark chapter 2, the last verse. I got it. I know what You're saying, dear God. I know what that is. And He told me deeper because I didn't know what He wanted to say. Maybe we'll do that next week. Paul says, as for me, and you have to understand, this is Paul's statement of faith. You will have one as well. When that last breath comes, you will say, as for me, I hope you're able to say, my life has been poured out as an offering to God. Now that is a drink offering. Whenever the Jews would give a burnt offering or any of the other offerings, they would pour wine upon that. And it's when the flames reached the flesh and the wine, it was a pleasing aroma. And he says, I have been poured out as an offering unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I have given Him my life. I've given Him my future. I've given Him everything. Hear Him say, there's nothing left for me to give. It's all been given to Him. Hear Him say, I fought the good fight. Notice, He did say it's a fight. When we live this Christian life, folks, it is difficult. Don't let anybody tell you differently. You're struggling to know whether it's your decisions, the devil's encouragement, or God. You're trying to figure that out. Or your spouse's. And it's a fight. It's a fight to stay consistent. I would love to tell you, once Christ comes into your heart, everything is great. But the Scripture tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yet the Lord delivers them from them all. We leave that last part out. Paul says, I have fought. And as you check his life, he has done that. He has fought those who were against him. He has fought false words against him. He has fought beatings and imprisonment and all of that. He says, I have fought the good fight. Now, what fight are you fighting? Is it the good fight? Randy, I'm just struggling to get my kids raised. Well, that's honorable, but that's not the good fight. Or Randy, I'm just struggling to make these ends meet. Well, once again, that's honorable. That's not the good fight. The good fight is the promise of Jesus Christ in your life. The good fight is to bring the glory of God within you, your current situation, changing, maturing, learning, and growing. That's a good fight. That the name of Jesus Christ would be praised and glorified so that those you work with would know that you're different. That there is a joy within you, regardless of your circumstance. That there is hope out there in this hopeless world. Folks, nobody has the answer to the Chicago shooting other than Jesus Christ. Nobody! There must be a sense of morality brought back into our country, into our homes. There must be the Word of God brought back. And Paul says, I have fought, and I have fought, and I have lost some battles, and I've been weak at times, but I continue to fight and get back up. Notice, he did not say, I have been perfect in the good fight. Didn't say that. He didn't say, my whole life has been to the glory of God. He didn't say that, because we know he wasn't. He was against that at first. But in that last breath, he said, I have fought the good fight. Is that where you're at this morning? Fighting that good fight. Not in perfection, because the Word says God knows we're just dirt. But when I struggle and when I fall down and when my thinking is wrong, I fight that with God's Word. And I fight it with prayer. And I fight it with being together. I fought the good fight. He then went on to say, I have finished the race. So many Christians, when life starts getting easier, drop out. Oh, they still go to church. They still give their tithes and offerings. But they drop out of the good fight. Got my kids raised. Honorable. But that's not the fight. I have finished. Here Paul says, I have finished all that God has given me to do. I finished it. I'm not perfect. And I got a few steps left within me. But he says, I didn't check out. I didn't check out when life got hard. When Alexander the coppersmith came against me and hurt me, I didn't check out and say, God, if you didn't take care of me then, I don't know if I can trust you. I didn't check out when my kids were grown, when my kids were younger, when work didn't go as planned, when the finances were better than we thought. I didn't check out. He says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I find myself, whether it is in a lot or whether it's in nothing. I've learned that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He finished the race. And then he said this, I have remained faithful. Oh! Oh, could we say that? The road's been hard, God. The road's been very hard. I've finished race. I didn't stop on the side of the road. I didn't get distracted. I have finished the race. But I've been faithful along the way. Those three things are necessary and mandatory to get what we really do want, which is that crown of righteousness given to us by Jesus Christ. Tom Landry was a football coach for the Dallas Cowboys for many, many years, boo, but he was a good man. And he said, the job of a coach is to make full-grown men do what they don't want to do so that they can achieve what they really want. Hear Paul say that. I have fought. I've exercised football. I've gone through the preseason. I have exercised. I've got my body ready for battle on the football field. I have finished the race. I've gone all the way through to where my body just won't hold up anymore. I have been faithful. I have been faithful. These three things are mandatory for you to get the eternal joy that is coming. Salvation gets us in the kingdom. Building on the right foundation brings us a joy that you cannot even imagine in eternity. Well, Randy, I'm just happy to be in Jesus. You're just getting the bare bones, guys. I don't know what that is, but it's bare bones. Better than going to hell, I'll tell you that, okay? But that just gets you started. There is joy after death that we cannot even imagine, but you send it ahead of time. I finished the race. Because Paul did those three things, he can say this: a prize waits for me. This prize is going to be given to me by Jesus. Oh, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He's not going to give him the prize for perfection. He's not going to give him the prize because he was even-tempered, that he was non-judgmental. He's going to give him the prize because he built this on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He has done it. He's kept the faith. And because of that, he has glorified God Almighty in whatever way that God has given him. And because of that, there is a prize waiting to him that Jesus is going to give him. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. There are two definitions of righteousness in the Bible. He says we're going to get a crown of righteousness. Two definitions. The first is that we have now all been made righteous before God the Father. In other words, when salvation come to us, we have been made righteous because Jesus' righteousness has been given to us. In other words, when God looks at you, He sees it through the righteousness of Jesus and it just kind of flows to us. That's the first part, okay? The second definition refers to us living a good and righteous life for God the Father with what time we have still left. That is the righteousness Paul is talking about. Not salvation righteousness, but because he has built on that solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has matured, he has changed, he has done what God has instructed him to do in the hard, in the easy, all through it. Because of that, that is a righteous life that he has built. Think of Shorty. Think of Jim and Nancy. Think of Bob. What they have left. They have built a life of righteousness. And we all know Bob wasn't perfect. How many times have we said, "Well, that's Bob"? But it was a life of righteousness. And because of that, there is a prize. Don't go past this. There's something that Jesus longs to bless you with. This is after death, what you have built here. Randy, I'm so behind. I can't ever get caught up. You start now. Start now. What will you be given? But look at this. And the prize is not for all any just the big people. It's for anyone who eagerly looks forward to His appearance. Not just super Christians. We'd all say, "Oh yeah, Paul, he's got that. I know that he's got a crown of righteousness that Jesus is going to offer to him." Oh, the apostles, yeah, we got that. They're big ones. Great theologians. Pat, we understand that. But notice, it says anyone who eagerly looks for His appearance. Well, who are these people? Randy, are we supposed to look forward to death? That's not what it means. But we do look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ returning. Who are these people? Well, it's those who are fighting the good fight, who are finishing the race, who is remaining faithful. That's the ones that he's got a reward for. Reward? Award. That is you. The only question is, what are you building in this life? We let this life take us away. We get so distracted by the things of this life. So distracted. Randy, this is going wrong. Understand that. It may even be your decisions of what's going on. Start today. Start today building that crown of righteousness that Jesus longs to give to you. Teach it to your children. Give them that sense of moral and changing, and that God has a special plan for them. It's not going to be my plan. You don't want to be in my head or my plan. That'd drive you nuts. But that's yours. God has personally chosen you and picked you to give you a life of blessing. Not necessarily ease, but a life of blessing. And when you mess up, He reestablishes again. We go forward. Good news. Good news. There's still time for you to become a believer in 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. There's good news. But it does take a choice. Who am I in Christ Jesus? Am I even in Christ Jesus? Have I accepted His salvation? How do I know? All of those questions, you need to get that decided today. Today. Do not leave here the same. But for the most of you, who am I in Christ Jesus? What kind of structure am I building that will pass through the judgment to see if anything stands so that Jesus can reward me? Nothing to do with salvation. Everything to do with joy. With joy. There's a scripture in Revelation that says that we are going to cast our crowns before the Lord Jesus Christ because He's the one who has earned it. And folks, I want something to throw. I do. I don't want to stand around going, oh, I wish I'd have done that. I wish I had something to glorify Him with. I wish I'd have lived differently. You get that chance to start today. Today. Well, tomorrow is going to be really rough. Yeah, Paul had rough days. We all have rough days. We all have days in which we pray, Lord, I did it again. Give me strength. Help me learn to overcome. Do great things in my life. Teach me to trust Your Word. But you do have to choose. May you be strong like Joshua. Joshua 24, 14 through 15. As he is summarizing, he's about ready to die as well. And he has written that God has kept every one of His promises to the nation of Israel. He said, not every one of the great and marvelous promises of God has come to pass. Not a single one of them did He not do. Not a single one. So he says, okay, Israel, you got a decision to make. 'Tis me, he said. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all your faithfulness. Isn't that what Paul said? Throw away the gods of your ancestors' worship beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Some of you need to throw some things away because you've kept them. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Got a choice to make. Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in the land you are living. But as for me and my household, we're serving the Lord. Have you made that statement? Randy, I can't dictate the decisions my kids made. That's not what he means. He says, as for me, I'm serving the Lord. As for my household, I'm going to manage it in such a fashion that they see I'm serving the Lord. So that makes the next generation more likely that they will serve the Lord as well. Not in perfection. As for me and my household, from this day forward, we're serving the Lord. That is the decision that you have this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your love. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. And Lord, they're deep. They're deep. And we are only grasping a small portion of it. Lord, help me understand more. Who am I, Jesus? Who am I? Am I truly forgiven? Have I ever made that choice? Have ever chose to bow that knee before You and humbly come before You and ask You to forgive me of my sin debt? It's because You've paid it. Have I ever done that? Not do I believe in You, but have I bowed that knee humbly? And if I have, what am I building? Lord, I really do long to have something to cast at your feet. Lord, that comes in this life that we build. Father, may we examine our lives. May we choose this day what the rest of our life looks like. And may we be like we read. As for me and all those I have influence in, from this day forward, we're serving the Lord. Now, Father, may we make those good decisions. And thank you. Thank you for the life that have been lived in front of us. In your name, amen. Stand, please, and we'll sing.
275.
275. Folks, altars are open. Not my altars. We must have an opportunity to do business with the Master. That's what this time is. Come and come quickly as we sing.